Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 13th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Good to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. So tonight we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, for tonight's topic, we're going to discuss the art of conversation and communication. And
we are.
It is.
We never run out of communication. That's one thing between you and I, Michael. We have good conversations. We don't run out of things to talk about. Quick off the top. So, I think we're a pretty good example of people who can talk to each other.
Well, I've always said that I can rant. I can go for a good rant for a while, and which is kind of something that we can start with because it's, you know, sometimes when I'm going off on a rant about this, that, or the other, it's not really a conversation. It's not really communication because it's one-sided. It's, you know, basically a lecture. And that's not really a good conversation. A good conversation is a back and forth. You have meaningful ideas exchanged. And you hopefully will come away from it learning something that you didn't know previously. And that can happen with people you've known for years, decades even, because the human mind and the human being is so complex, there are still things we're going to continuously find out about one another.
Absolutely. We never know everything. You know, really, information is generally as it arises, you know, as things arise in life, then you have a reason to talk about it, you know, or a reason to address a situation. But usually people don't think to talk about a lot of things.
You know, most people don't think to ask me about my, you know, position and role in the Illuminati, and they really ought to because it's fascinating. But, you know, it just doesn't come up. So, you know, it doesn't get talked about. But
what is your role in the Illuminati, Michael?
Oh, if I had to tell you. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. But, all that means is that I'm lying, of course. Or am
I? I know. The thing about conversation is a two-way thing.
Absolutely.
Generally, mm-hmm. with words, but it's also with feeling, right? Inflection.
Oh, yeah.
And then body language, of course, it has a lot to do with it. So there's, you know, I think if we break down conversations and how people have conversations, and it is in the study material at IMHS and TFU for sure. Dr. Kelly's pretty good about you know, laying out the different kinds of communicating that we have. And, but it's generally our words are really important, right? How we pick our words and to articulate to the best of our ability to what we mean. But the English language is pretty messed up. Emotionally, we're always subjective, interpreting what people say by how we process or what we want people to be intending. That's really tricky. But there's the conversations being two ways, hopefully where two people, I think, are mostly interested in each other, and then to communicate that with all the other appropriate signals. You know, if I say, how are you with my hands on my hips, then, you know, yikes. That kind of is posturing, kind of in a rather authoritative way.
But that's how I do it all the time. What are you trying to say?
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, or, you know, there's so, your arms are crossed and you say, so what's up? Like as if you really cared. It's like such an effort to ask the question. And so it's really to be as self-aware as possible in how we deliver information. And but then to be okay with paraphrasing back if you don't understand what somebody's trying to say. So that's where a conversation goes two ways in that respect. And that's just, I think, really important. You know, people, and I have a terrible habit of asking a lot of questions, but I say terrible because a lot of people don't like a lot of questions, interestingly. you know, when somebody says them, I say, well, I'm not sure I understand that. Maybe because what I'm hearing from what you said is blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not what I mean. Okay, then can we kind of start over so I understand that better? And I take the high road to say maybe I'm stupid, but I'm not getting it. And I'm happy to do that because I don't care. And it, just trying to find out what it is that somebody is attempting to articulate, but they either don't have the skills, never invested the skills, they've become kind of lazy, if you will. And basically, people habitually get away with things. I don't have to explain myself. Well, that's what I mean by the emotion or an attitude behind us. And our intent to actually have communication. And a lot of people don't know what communication really is because they don't have to.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that's true, though?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I'm kidding. I'm a bear of laughs tonight. I don't know what's gotten into me, but absolutely, I think great. It is because, and it's, it's got a lot to do with the ego, too, wouldn't you say? You know, in the sense of like what you were talking about, I think, earlier, in that kind of prideful, aren't you entitled to my opinion? Which is why I love it when people ask me questions, because then I get to share my opinion with everybody. But it's but it is supposed to be, it's a two-way street of open ideas and exchanging, you know, information. And it's a good conversation is one of the best things about being a human being. You know, we all realize we're the human animal. We have instinctual, you know, things, drives, needs, what have you, as a human animal. And one of those is to tell each other stories. And that's really what we're doing when we're having a conversation. We're telling a story about our lives or about a situation. We're exchanging ideas, and sometimes we use those stories to make philosophical points. But I think when it comes to, you know, a good conversation and being able to have a good conversation with a wide spectrum of different types of people, it comes in handy to have a wide interest in a lot of things. So just as I've said in a lot of things, and, you know, I get this from other places too, but it's this the idea that curiosity is the driving force, because if you're a curious individual, then you're going to naturally be interested in a lot of things, and you're going to be interested in what your, you know, conversation partner has to say. You're going to be interested in the information they have to relay. And curiosity, just like so many other things in my opinion, is such a crucial element of that, such a crucial element of a good back and forth conversation.
I agree. I think where we get into trouble is when we're emotionally attached to the outcome, you know, of what I really hope you're going to say so that we can be friends and you can approve of me, you know, that kind of thing. And the other is if somebody's really shy, they are really curious and interested, but they don't know how to engage, you know, in a conversation. Like there's a fear. And I think insecurities and shy are a little bit different. You know, I think that once you're really comfortable with somebody in a setting, you can overcome shyness. Whereas even when you're comfortable with somebody, there's a tendency, if you're insecure, to want to maneuver the conversation. Does that make sense? And how people tend to want a certain outcome. Oh, you know, yeah. in all my years of working with people, especially with couples, it's if I say, well, did you ask him that? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Because they're worried about the answer. You know, and that's where, as Dr. Kelly would say, is cognitive dissonance. And I don't really want to communicate that far because it could put me at risk. You see, or yeah. It could put my situation at risk. And that minimizes, it really inhibits our ability to be a better communicator when there are those underlying motivations, insecurities, you know, intentions, even if they're unconscious.
Manipulations.
That makes us, strategies, man. So that, it inhibits our ability to be more of who we are. Mm-hmm. And extend that beyond ourselves to be curious about the world and be better communicators, I think. So mm-hmm. That's where I think the issues really are. But I think that the biggest thing, and I think you nailed it too, Michael, when you're saying being interested in other people and telling your story. You know, because when I'm conversing with people, I'm telling you who I am and being okay with who I am. You know, and whatever I'm asking or how I'm answering is my story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through those conversations that we're being real. I think the word authentic has gotten so overused, you know.
It's not really authentic anymore.
But it's, you know, it's like being who I am.
Yeah.
And unless some things come up, of course, need to know basis or there, you know, certain topics or certain things about me you don't know because you didn't ask, and I didn't feel a reason to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just like the
next, yeah, it's true. But I think that's the next part is a lot of time we don't volunteer information because it's just not needed, mm-hmm. you know. Or I know a lot of people live in secrets, and that's fair enough if they want the secrets. They're worried about what people would think of them, so they find topics that are more comfortable for them. You know, let's just have it in the safe zone. But that's not really getting real to be more of who we are. And I think we live in a world that's, boy, there's more opposing forces all the time,
oh,
right? Because, yeah. You know, over 50 years or so, we've become rather comfortable, at least a lot of people. And now life is a bit uncomfortable, and that threatens our fears. It threatens our security, causing more fears, and it makes us even poorer communicators because we're getting stuck in a thought. Like suddenly one opinion has become the entirety of somebody, mm-hmm. and so it's one force against the other. But that's not communicating. That's it's being aggressive, really.
Right. Well, and it's not being realistic about what and who a human being is.
Mm.
We're more than just one opinion or one facet of our lives. And, you know, I think it's more important than ever to remember. I mean, we live in a very polarized world, and it's becoming increasingly polarizing. And I think it's important to remember that we're really not that different. And there are major points of disagreement, and there are real differences in philosophy and what our outlooks are, but there is also an enormous amount of common ground. You know, when it comes to good conversation, in communication, some of my best friends and some of my greatest conversations have been with my, you know, complete opposites when it comes to a philosophical or political belief. And that is one thing I've always liked. And, you know, this isn't for everybody, and you have to understand the personality type of your friends or the person you're having a conversation with to know if it's, you know, appropriate to have this kind of probing, engaging conversation. But I like to be challenged. I like somebody with an opposing viewpoint that can state it well, and I love to be challenged, and I love to have that, you know, debate-style argument.
Well, now, isn't that interesting? Because I think that what you just said there, and I'm going to paraphrase this a bit and take it a step further, is whatever center we come from, like you're challenged by intelligence, intellect, and ideas, and you're comfortable with being that. You've been raised that way to be comfortable with that and to be comfortable with how you think. Make sense? Like, other people might be more emotionally motivated. So it's what attracts them emotionally, what can be emotionally gratifying. And anything intellectual or, what I call reasonably intelligent, kind of goes to the secondary, third, or fourth in their list of importance. Because if you ask somebody, what are you most attracted to in a man or woman or, partner, they're going to come out generally with physical traits or the superficialities of, somebody who likes to take long walks, likes the movies, and, kind of thing.
I mean, who doesn't like long walks in the movies?
Oh, well, you see, but it's very rarely I get answers from people that would be intelligent, considerate. It's more about how somebody's going to be our entertainment or how they're going to serve us, and that's a lot of that because we become rather selfish individuals in this society. And that's what we've all been, working on. And it's not to say I'm not selfish at times, too. I'm just saying to be more humanitarian and more community driven again is to restore that art of conversation. We really need to get back to that. And I think there's no better time in our world than right now to get back to that.
Oh, yeah. And it's unfortunate when, it's becoming more prominent where people just don't want to interact at all. You want everything to be remote. And, times like this, it's understandable. But when it comes to life, you need to, be able to have just a random conversation with a random stranger. And you build community that way, in a way. It's just in the same way that I like to have conversations with you. I like to have input from our, live listeners in the chat. The conversations going on there, it's, stimulating, intriguing. And we share with one another. We, at times, lean on one another. And that's part of communication, too. To lean emotionally on one another, to communicate our problems, to understand that there's somebody else out there that understands. That has powerful value.
Well, and knowing that somebody else is interested enough in you to do that, of course, is huge. Because I think most people want some kind of validation, not just an interaction, but to feel like if I'm having a conversation with somebody and I know they're not interested, their body's present, their mouth is going, but I know they're not with me,
Yeah. They're just waiting for their chance to speak.
There's a chance to speak or leave. there has to be that energy behind it, and to show that there's interest, not just, oh, how are you today? Not that I really care, but it's a thing to ask. Because if you're going to say, how are you today, be real about that and hope for an answer. And I'm really good, thanks. And so good, glad to hear. So you follow that up.
Mm-hmm.
Follow it up with something. And that gives that extra affirmation of, I'm listening. I'm hearing you. And so that's how you connect, I think. It's that connection with one another.
Absolutely. It's all about connection.
Yeah, it is. In light of that, one of the projects I've been working on, and I'm glad that, we brought up this topic tonight. I have a project that's still in the final stage of development, nearly ready. But I will tell people about it so you can maybe check it out and give me feedback next week when you come back and into the chat. But because I am such an avid promoter and I think educator about communication, which as metaphysicians we are, I've been working on this for about 15 years, but I wanted to have a tool or something that people could start to learn to ask questions and have conversations with one another. So that being said, in development in the last year, has been an app. So, you know, if people are using their devices, let's go with the devices. So developing an app that asks questions turned into a bit of a game, but it really is just a conversation maker. And so it asks people questions, turned into a game of, you know, rating compatibility, family, we're adult. So anybody who wants to, it's yakally.com, yakally.com. Like I say, we're really not launching, I think, till next week. We have a few little things to add in there. Mm-hmm. But it is operational. Haven't started any marketing, so this is the first announcement. So like I say, there might be some little things in there that we have to tweak and get my team together to do that. But that's where I think I really want to be a part of the solution toward getting people to learn to talk to each other. Again, I can't tell you the numbers of people I've counseled over the years who... let's say it's just a woman and she's having issues in a relationship. And I say, well, have you asked him about that? I can't do that because some subjects are too uncomfortable. And even the smallest things, then you don't know about your partner because it's very limited. And so it's kind of getting people to talk. But when I have the couple together, let's say we're on Skype or sitting together, I can ask the questions. And I find often that my clients are really glad that I did. It takes the pressure off of them that I don't mind asking. You know, because, would you do that for me? But then it stimulates the conversation. That's all I do is I ask the questions. Then they're kind of sitting with the question in the air. And what they do with that then is up to them, of course. But hopefully then they get a response, even if it's that physical reaction, an emotional reaction, something that brings something more truthful to the surface. So it's that's what I hope that this does, is gets people talking. It is available on a desktop, on your iPad, and on your phone. So it's got all those variations and... So if you're, you know, it's for people, if you're on a train with somebody and you're bored and you look at each other and say, what do we talk about? Oh, pull up Yak Alley. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're, I've had my kids testing it, and I know one of my kids said, we've been married 10 years and didn't know this about each other. We never mm-hmm. thought to ask. See, and I've even my grandchildren, my granddaughter asked her mom the other day, can I play Yak Alley? And because it's just good for them to think of things to ask. And even though there may be questions in there, you wanted to ask somebody you didn't know how, well, here, you let the yak do it for you. So it's, you know, yak
yeah,
it up.
Great. You know, it's a great excuse to ask the question. It's an icebreaker. Yeah.
So it will be a free app. It's a free app. Of course, a donations button and getting into some merchandising. There is this merchant page there. But, you know, again, it's in the early stage. And if this can help people to start to talk to each other again, then I figure my work here is done. Do you know what I mean? That's been the center of my work, helping people communicate. And we need lots of tools. Mm-hmm. The school gives you skills. IMHS and TFU give you skills to have confidence, learn different techniques. And yeah, but now when you're in social situations, what do you do? Well, what are the questions? Whether you're with a group of friends or, you know, it's just your family sitting around the dinner table, you know, all kinds of scenarios so people can start to get to know each other again. So that's my hope. So feedback next week would be great, guys.
Yeah, very cool.
So, So if you check it out. But, you know, there's been a conversation going on in the chat room. Wendy's son took ill. He is back from the hospital. And Wendy, we're going to send out lots of positive energy for your son.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And for yourself as well. These are scary times when people take ill from anything. Now, of course, right away we're jumping to conclusions. I got to tell you honestly, the other day I had a bit of a sore throat. My allergies have been acting up, and I thought, no, I don't have that COVID thing. I do not. I know better. You've had this before. It's your allergies, and as much as I don't like to, I took a Benadryl and, you know, had some water and everything cleared up, and it was shoo. So yeah. It's really easy now to inflate our fears.
Well, it's all around us. It's impossible not to. You know, prior to the show, I told you a little bit about having a rough night sleeping. I'm asthmatic, so I was having, breathing, just trouble, breathing. No big deal. Mm. No biggie. But anyway, it kind of lingered on into today, and I was wondering, I really hope I'm not getting sick. I hope it's not anything. I hope it's not COVID. But of course it's not. You know, it's allergy season, and, you know, there's probably a lot of pollen in the air. Don't have a fever, and, you know, so it's hard, impossible not to go that way. But you know, the bottom line is, you know, especially in regards to Wendy, you know, our thoughts, our spirit is with you and your son and your whole family. This is rough on everybody, but I hope he pulls through well. I hope that he does well. And of course, you know, when it comes time to it, we're going to be pulling cards, and we will pull one for him as well.
Yes. As a matter of fact, why don't we just get started?
I think that's a great idea. Michael, so,
I didn't catch, it was going so fast in the chat. Did you catch Wendy's son's name?
See if I can find it here.
Wendy, do you want to just type that in there quickly if you can and tell us his first name, and then we'll draw a card.
Absolutely.
From the inner oracle and as well as the tarot as a backup.
Absolutely.
Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you. So we'll pull a card for Stephen, and then I think we'll pull a card for Wendy.
Sounds
and
good.
Then if you'd like one, please throw your name in chat. So, perfect. All right. I'm thinking about Stephen. And I pulled number two, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Well, now, as a backup to that, Stephen, I got the Four of Diamonds, and in tarot language, that's the Four of Pentacles. Now, with regard to, you know, self-esteem and validation and the Four of Diamonds, it's like, be miserly right now. Obviously, you've taken ill, and that's, you know, really shaken things up, shakes up your world. But it is just chill out and do your best to be collecting your energy and collecting your thoughts and reconfiguring that to be miserly with your time and your energy. Take inventory right now, and don't hesitate to be selfish. So that you do ask yourself those other questions about confidence versus esteem, you know, validation, where you get it from, and, you know, bring that inner circle around you. And my intuition says you're absolutely going to get through this, going to knock the wind out of you for a while. It might take you, you know, a month or two. That's my sense here, but you'll be back on your feet, but with new eyes. You know, seeing the world, seeing yourself in the world differently. So I hope that helps, and all the best to you, Stephen. We're all sending you a lot of energy. So
absolutely.
So now for Wendy. Let's go for Wendy.
All right. Let's see. I have wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others.
Well, in support of that, Wendy, I got the Seven of Spades, and it can go either way. You know, you can feel like things are being taken away from you, or you feel like you're getting more than you expected, and it's probably both. Like, oh, when will it stop? I think with that, it would be very natural and normal to say, what is going on here? And feeling like there's so much energy going out the window, you know, like, where is this going? What you can be assured of is that there's always a replenishment. So I know it's easy to buy into fear. It's easy to buy into an idea of, why do I feel like my world is escaping me? But if you just pull it back just for a second and be in that place of, I know this just, it's so cliche, isn't it? To be in that place of gratitude, that place of, in other words, instead of getting peed off, you say, well, this is a new challenge, and embrace the challenge and say, what do we have to work with, as opposed to what is it that I've lost that I can't work with? So it's a different approach from that negative, again, which is so understandable to be deflated for a moment and terrified. But it's going to be okay, absolutely. So go with that positive and cling on to those wonderful little experiences of, you know what, we got through this, we're okay, and keep working with that and building that energy.
Absolutely.
So I hope that helps, Wendy. So
right.
I think we have Dr. Darlene next.
Yep, exactly. All right. And I pulled another wild card, actually. Wild card number 8, freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is knowing who you are, freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, what's interesting about this, Darlene, is I got the Eight of Spades, the Eight of Swords in tarot language. And what that says to me, I call it one of the back cards. It's feeling constricted, restricted, feeling like you don't know which way to look or go, because we have to rely on radar. So, again, that bat card, it's radar. What does your intuition tell you? There might be some confining moments in your day, and maybe that time period is just to sit quiet. So just to stay quiet and listen to the little voices in your head, or all those little indicators that tell you which way to go, that's your freedom, as I see it. So I hope that helps or makes sense to you in some way today, Darlene. Okay,
right.
We have Dr. Edward.
Edward coming up, and let's see. I always hope that we pull one we haven't pulled for Dr. Edward in a while. That's become a running theme here. But let's see. Number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Oh, Dr. Edward, I got the magician in support of that. That's alchemy. That's transformational in a metamorphosis of sorts and learning how to work energy. So along with that, of course, that's positive consciousness in action, right? But this is saying to me, again, my intuition here is that there's some things that you want to make happen and you want to get that energy moving, then project for that because you're learning, you know, it's going to sound a little off the wall, but you're learning new ways of projecting energy outward to create events. So I'd say you've got this and keep going and you'll convince yourself you will. So something that you're doing that you're on a roll, and I say keep going. That's very exciting. Good for you. You know, we have Jericho joined us today. Nice to see you here, Jericho. It's been a while, I think, is in my memory. We're going to pick a card for Jericho.
All right, and I pulled number 23, Meaning and Purpose. Mm. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, Jericho, for you, the Six of Clubs comes up in support of that. So the Six of Wands, and how I see this and interpret that, and especially as a backup supporting energy, is because that's a celebration card, right? It's a time of celebration. It's a time of successes. You've had some successes. But where do you want to go now? What are the goals and what's the intent? So the meaning versus purpose. What's your sense of purpose? And my sense here is getting back to a root purpose in your next project. And because I feel like you're on the precipice of something new. I guess I should throw that in there. So this new projects and what is it that motivates you and you truly want to achieve? Not just by the outcome of it, but your intent. I hope that helps you. I think you're onto some kinds of shift in your life here, and that's a good thing. That's awesome. All right. Is there anybody we've missed? Anybody else here in the chat? Boy, time goes by fast, doesn't it?
Oh, I tell you, it does. I don't think so, but of course, if we have, go ahead and throw your name in the chat real quick. And if not, I guess we'll start wrapping up. I you know, had a good conversation talking about conversation. It's kind of meta, but no, it was a good time. And, you know, next week we're going to tackle another light subject. We're going to keep it light. We're going to talk about the concept of truth. I mean, what is truth even?
That's a really good conversation. We're going to have that because what is reality to make it a truth?
Mm-hmm. What is our truth? What is the objective truth? And what is the difference? It's going to be a fascinating discussion.
Yeah.
So, well, it's, you know,
as
been
always.
A great night, as always. How could it not be? How could it not be? And it's, you know, always a good time. I'm looking forward to it. And it's good to be here with the people that join us live. And even those joining us in the archives, we get feedback about people that listen and how it they enjoy it, brings meaning. And to hear that gives me meaning. To see you here, it gives, you know, it gives me meaning to join every week to try to think of things to say. It's invigorating. To have these conversations with you, Dr. Hunter, is invigorating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
ditto.
So thank you.
Well, as I say, we're all cheerleaders for each other. And, you know, we help to motivate and inspire each other. And that's what family does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. We're a family of the curious of the world. And that curiosity will propel us forward. And it will give us hope. because the world is full of possibility. So I hope that you join us next week. I hope that you continue to stay safe out there. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.